still allow this at your university. Now, you know, all this stuff about, you know, raw milk being bad for you, like the CDC is trying to push, you know, more of this codex type stuff. Well, the CDC admits not a single person has died from consuming raw milk products in 11 years. So, I mean, it's just fear-mongering among the public. And, you know, they're making you drink, you know, milk that has had all the nutrients cooked out of it. You know, when it's homogenized and pasteurized and everything, you're not getting the probiotics and everything and you know, all the good stuff that's in, you know, regular cow milk or, you know, goat milk for that matter. Yeah, so the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention refuses to acknowledge that based on all available statistics, raw milk produced on clean, small-scale farms is actually far safer than pasteurized milk from factory farms. But the agency did admit earlier this year, after being pressed and warned of a potential Freedom of Information Act request if it failed to comply, that not a single person has died from raw milk consumption in over a decade. This may come as a shock to some who, because of all the propaganda about the alleged dangers of raw milk, are convinced otherwise, but it's true. One of the two deaths often cited by the CDC as evidence that raw milk is dangerous was actually linked to the consumption of raw queso fresco cheese, which is currently outlawed by the FDA. And the other is likely linked to an adulterated raw milk product as well, other than to raw milk. So it's from raw milk products, not the actual raw milk. After repeatedly petitioning the CDC for clarification about its questionable raw milk statistics and getting nowhere, Mark McAfee, owner of Organic Pastures Dairy Company in California, finally threatened to file a Freedom of Information Act request to get the truth. Shortly thereafter, he received a response from an unidentified official at the CDC's information office explaining that the one raw milk death that occurred between 1998 and 2008 was actually linked to illegal raw queso fresco cheese. The agency has not yet provided details about the other death, but it is likely that it too was linked to some adulterated raw milk product rather than to raw milk itself. If and when the agency finally fesses up to the truth about the case, it will also be inadvertently admitting that it has lied to the public for many years about the nature of raw milk. The CDC's continual avoidance of talking about the much worse dangers associated with pasteurized milk further illustrates its raw milk bias. In 2006 alone, there are at least 1,300 people who got sick from pasteurized milk just in California. And yet the CDC only talks about the roughly 39 reported illnesses every year in the Golden State that are alleged, but not necessarily proven to be linked to raw milk. He's got a free PDF out there for anyone who wants to see the statistics of raw milk versus pasteurized milk. I'll put the link in here and you can get the PDF off it. I'll put that up in the chat room. You know, it's just more scare tactics and more making sure that people, you know, can't make decisions for themselves type thing. It's just more bullshit, more government intervention, you know, more restrictions on things that are actually healthy. Just like we're going to see in a couple of years with when they actually push Codex through. You know, that's good. They've been demonizing that stuff for a while now too. You know, demonizing vitamins and supplements and whatnot, saying that people don't know, you know, what to take, and you know, and I'm sure this will go through when Obamacare goes through, because, you know, it's the type of thing where they want to limit, you know, everything is going to be done through an insurance company and done through everything that's done. You know, so I mean, you know, everything is going to be systematic, and I think, you know, that's when we're supposed to be getting chipped and everything else. It's just really bad news that that all this stuff, people really think that they're going to get health care out of this. They think that, you know, no, what you're getting is sick care. You know, they're making you sick, and you're ending up at the doctor more often, and they're all profiting off of it. And you're dying at an earlier age. You know, it's already been documented. The baby boomers are dying at an earlier age than the World War II era. You know, so it just goes to show. We only got about a minute or two left tonight. But, you know, I wanted to invite you to look into that stuff about the London Olympics that I was talking about earlier. The links are up in the chat and whatnot. Also, too, to, you know, I don't know, stay on your guard. I mean, you know, there's a lot of divide and conquer stuff going on out there. A lot of truths are being, you know, a lot of people are right now turning their head to the truths when it comes to certain things, you know, like the Occupy movement, like Ron Paul, you know, a lot of these things. And you know, you know, by now I'm sure anyone that listened to me for a while knows my stances on both of these things. I feel that, you know, just a quick recap, if you want, I have Facebook notes and this stuff. And actually, Michael Rockefeller is not his real name, of course. Another guy on Facebook that's, you know, pretty writes a lot of stuff. He just, you know, he put together a pretty well-sourced article. It's on my Facebook page if anybody wants it. And, you know, it just shows all this stuff about Ron Paul, even stuff where he says Zionism, you know, was a good thing. And, you know, and that's from his book. It's not like they're cherry picking stuff out of thin air. You know, that was in one of his books. You know, and just the fact that he named his kid after Ayn Rand. And, you know, Ayn Rand, of course, we know, most likely wrote a book with one of the Rothschilds and mentored Alan Greenspan. And, you know, you just got to look into these things further. I think that's the problem. People sometimes just want to sit back and expect the truth to be delivered to them, but it's not the case. All right, guys. Next coming up, I have the Wake Up Call with Brian. Stay tuned. Sorry, I went over into my outro, but stay tuned. Brian, the Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening. Inform Radio, Useless Eaters. I'm out. Peace.
The greatest form of control is where you think you're free when you're being fundamentally manipulated and dictated. One form of dictatorship is being in a prison cell and you can see the bars and touch it. The other one is sitting in a prison cell, but you can't see the bar. You think you're free.
What the human race is suffering from is mass hypnosis. We are being hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us proud to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, head in the clouds, and wanna wake up to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day.
Everybody is slaves, only some are aware that the government releasing poison in the air. That's the reason I collect so many guns in my lair. I ain't never caught slipping, never underprepared. Yeah, they shade sign on me, they just bring it proudly. George Bush, the grandson of Aleister Crowley. They want you to believe the lie that the enemy's Saudi. The enemy ain't Saudi, the enemy around me. It's fluoride in the water, but nobody know that. It's also a prominent ingredient in Prozac.
For real? How could any government bestow that upon people who believe in political throwback? That's not all that I'm here to present you. I know about the Black Pope in Solomon's Temple.
Yeah.
About the Vatican assassins and how they will get you. And how they clone Barack Hussein Obama in a test tube.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us proud to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, out in the clouds, and won't wake up to a dead in the grave. But then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end.
Whoever built the pyramids had knowledge of electrical power, and you know that that's the information that they suppress and devour. Who you sit the motherfuckers that crashed in the tower? Who you sit that made it turn into action an hour? The same ones that invaded your own. The ones that never told you about the skeletons on the moon. Yeah, the ones that poison all the food you consume. The ones that never told you about the Mount Vesuvius tombs. The bird flu is a lie, the swan flu is a lie. Why would that even come as a surprise? Yeah, the polio vaccine made you die. It caused cancer and it cost a lot of people their lives. Do y'all know about Bohemian Grove? How the world leaders sacrifice the children in robes? Lucifer is God in the public school system. I suggest you open up your ears and you listen.
It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us fight and be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, out in the clouds, and won't wake up to a dead in the grave. By then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of days.
The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real.
If you can persuade them that what they see with their eyes is what there is to see, you got them. Because they'll laugh in the face of an explanation that portrays the bigger picture of what's happening. And they have.
Truth Radio bring you facts.
I hope you got an extra mic and a fireproof booth, cause you know I'm known to melt a wire too. You need a fire engineer when I lay this blade. I melt down tracks that thrills and sleeves. Hit the studio, jars to throw, bars to blow. BC go with that arsenic flow. That don't hold me back. I roll with crack. Y'all cats told Matt to rap. Y'all don't realize y'all released the beast untamed. Speech all plain, streets all blame. It should be an honor for y'all to speak my name. I could go before your auntie couldn't beat my game. Gotta laugh, don't act like you spit it the same. Why you must can't get in the game? I come from high school and go straight to the league. Who you know who can spit it with speed? Yeah. Every time I step in a booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. You must know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak, sell, set you free. The truth. Every time I step in a booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak, sell, set you free. Ain't nothing changed with Sieg. I'm still stuck in the kitchen. So what I'm signed? That's fine. Still stuck in position. You know me well, couple court cases from jail, couple 4-4 shells from hell, stuck on this mission, go home, my girl fussing him, won't you change your life, I'm thinking, won't I change my wife, ignorant, pampered, like the rap shit, it's just another hustle, another way for to touch you, now they know the face that beams, now they see my face on screens, and I ain't even chased this dream, I feel sorry for those who did, y'all can't stop the ball, whether rock or raw, I'm slinging coke in a rock below. You know what block I'm on, block and palm. You wanna get shot, karate chop, your stand is wrong.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I think last night when we left off, I know we were talking a little bit about I know we talked about that Lysol contest that they're having to get people to get a flu shot. You know, I just heard Justin talking about the raw milk a little while ago. And, you know, not only has nobody died from this, but, I mean, they make the hugest deal about this. You know, they've arrested people for selling milk to their neighbors. And like Justin was saying, when you heat the milk, you zap it of all its nutrients. if you were to get, you know, unpasteurized, unhomogenized organic milk, the difference, it's crazy what the difference is. They literally boil out all the nutrients before you get it, and they don't want you having that milk. And, you know, that just goes, it's just, you know, another notch in their belt as far as, you know, trying to keep you sick. And another thing that they've done, you know, as far as food and trying to keep you from good food, is they're not letting people label food and tell you good things about it. Like, there was recently an almond company that tried to put on their packaging that it was good for your heart, because it is. It can do all sorts of things for your heart and stop. It can help prevent all sorts of complications and stuff if you eat, you know, a couple cups of almonds every day or something. They don't want you knowing about that. They don't want you knowing about fish oils and vitamin C and all this other stuff that can help prevent disease. They'd rather have you just line up and roll up your sleeve, take a flu vaccine. That's why you don't hear about any of this stuff. They're not going to make a $1 billion off that. They will off the vaccine, though. You know, there's a case right now of a little girl. Okay, well, she's 13, and she just had a Cervarix vaccine. It's for HPV. It's not the same as the Gardasil one, but I would think, I knew that there were two HPV vaccines. This must be the other one, right? I'm assuming that it is. Well, now this girl can't walk. She was, you know, she was a young, active child. She was a straight-A student. And now she's pretty much, you know, 23 hours a day just stuck in the bed. She can't do anything. She's like a vegetable. And this is ever since she got her vaccine. And, you know, her parents know what it's from. Everybody else, you know, everybody that knows her knows what it's from. But they'll still continue to give these to kids. And now, this is a STD vaccine, guys. So that bill that we talked about a week ago, we talked about an anti-parent bill in California where, you know, the Merck drug company actually paid off all these different people, you know, as far as California legislators, to sign off on this bill where any child over 12 can get vaccinated at school for an STD without their parents' consent. So the parent doesn't even have to know. And some of the side effects range from anything from genital warts to comas and seizures. Now imagine your kid comes home with any of those symptoms or starts showing any of those symptoms, and you don't even know that your kid's had a vaccine. And that's legal now. That's legal in California. And all it took was a few thousand dollars. We went over the, you know, we went over the whole money trail like last week. It might have been 2 weeks ago. And we read over the air all the people that took money to basically, you know, sign these kids' death certificates. And that's basically what they're doing. Well, they did this in Texas a few years ago, okay? This whole thing that was tied to Rick Perry that I'm sure a lot of you people heard about. That was the same thing. That was the Gardasil. And there were 49 people that died in Texas from it, and 151 people that were totally disabled, permanently disabled. And you got little kids that are getting blood clots, okay? I mean, it's like murder. You're sticking lethal injections in people. That's all it is. It's murder and attempted murder and armed assault with a needle. I mean, you're damaging kids for life. This thing about the little girl, though, is really sad because, I mean, she's like a vegetable now. She can't do anything. She can't talk. She can't eat. I think she has to eat through a tube. And this is all because they were afraid she might get an STD. She probably wasn't even having sex yet. But they made her get this damn vaccine. And now what if that was your kid? And you still seen people on TV preaching about these things, talking about how good they are, talking about how they work. And then you see people at, you know, you try to go to down the street, drive past a Walgreens or a CVS, and they got billboards out there now. 20% off your order if you get a vaccine, get the flu shot. But they don't tell you that it doesn't work. They don't tell you that you could just build up your immune system in so many other ways rather than sticking a needle in your arm. And we talked about this, I think, last night. I mean, what kind of wimp are you? You need to get vaccinated so you don't get the flu. I mean, just get the flu, man, and get over it. Like, seriously. I missed the story, I guess, or maybe it didn't really come out too much until recently. What was going on around the White House? I guess they said some guy, fired an assault rifle, and it went through one of the windows at the White House, and then the second window stopped the bullet. The president wasn't even there, though, so it's not like, you know, he tried to assassinate him. The president was in Hawaii, and then they found the assault rifle in some abandoned car, and they're blaming this guy, Oscar Ramiro Ortega. I don't really know too much about it, guys. I just actually saw it tonight. I don't, you know, even know if it's legit, but I guess they rounded him up on Friday, and then they found another casing somewhere on Pennsylvania Avenue or around the corner, somewhere near the Washington Monument. Yeah, I just figured I'd report on that. I mean, I don't really have too much of an opinion on it. I just saw it tonight. I mean, I don't understand what the point is if the president's not even there. If they're just trying to show off their security or something, I don't know, maybe. I see this other thing, the Air Force. They're going to get 8 30,000-pound bombs. What these bombs are supposedly for is to take out, like, subterranean bases. Like what they were saying, Iran is going to try and move all their nuclear program into. Remember they said they were going to try to do that before the summer, so we needed to go in there in the spring. Well, supposedly they got these bombs now where it's not going to matter because they can blow things up out to 200 feet under the ground. And Obama's making a deal right now. This is all gearing up. I mean, they're getting ready to go in there. This isn't like, oh, they were talking about it, it's going to get dragged out. No, they're already in the process of moving stuff over there. They have a deal with the United Arab Emirates where they're going to put 500 Hellfire air-to-surface missiles over there, 4,900 smart bombs, okay? They're going to put all this stuff in Abu Dhabi, and they're going to get ready to launch against Iran. They're going to put it all right over there. You know what I mean? Why? Why are we going to get in on a war? I can't even believe that we have to talk about this. Why? I mean, I know why. But I want to hear them tell us why. I want to hear them tell us that, you know, these people really didn't do nothing to us. We just, you know, we don't control their banks. We don't control their economy. And they got some resources that we really want, like their oil. And God knows what else they got. And so we're pretty much going to start a war with them, and we're going to tell you guys that they're terrorists. Wouldn't that be music to your ears? Imagine hearing that. That would never happen. But anyways, do you guys remember back in, you know, Tora Bora when they were supposedly bombing the crap out of it? Who knows, you know, who knows what was even going on? But supposedly these are twice as powerful as those daisy cutters that they used back then. And those, you know, they used to come on the news and tell you how all these things will go in the cave. And they'll bust open the cave and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, all I gotta say pretty much to that is, why? Why are we gonna bully around another nation? When is it gonna stop? I read something that we're putting all sorts of military bases in Australia now. Why? And why are they letting us? Well, I'll tell you why they're letting us, because it's bigger than the United States, okay? The people that we're working for, it's bigger than just one country. And Australia's, you know, they're in on that too. So they don't really have a say in letting us put military bases in their country. Remember, guys, all these terrorist countries supposedly that we go after, Syria, Iran, formerly Iraq and Afghanistan, Lebanon, we haven't gone there, but I mean, we will be going there. And you'll see why. And it's all because these people, it's not because they're terrorists, it's just because we don't control their bank. Well, who's ever controlling all these banks doesn't control theirs. They're independent. People don't want that. The whole reason we went in Libya, okay? Now, I know there was a ton of oil. I don't know if there were other resources. Like, I know they were in Afghanistan, right? And there was oil, obviously. And there was opium. And then they supposedly found a whole bunch of lithium. So I don't know what else was in Libya. But that was mostly over the economy and finances, and he wanted to put all of Africa on its own economy, backed by gold, with him putting up money to start it up. not really that bad of a guy if you think about it. But that's what they're going to do for this whole Iran thing. They're going to, you know, hype this guy up like he's this guy Mao from friggin' China back in the day or whatever. That's what they're going to make this guy sound like. And you should, you know, just take it from us. It's, you know, it's all a sham. Okay? I just feel that people don't even give a crap. You know, I'm starting to feel like that. People don't even give a crap to the stuff I'm saying on here, especially when it comes to the war. Nobody cares. Yep, just go ahead. Go ahead, mow down like 100,000 civilians. We won't bat an eye. Those people are over there. That's the problem with everybody in this country these days. They don't even care. Nobody cares about that. What if that was you? What if these people were coming over here and we didn't do anything? We didn't do anything. All we did was be an independent country that didn't want people, you know, outside interfering with us. And we didn't give in. And they sent tanks over here and started mowing us down. And laughing about it. Just putting missiles in our windows, blowing us up, blowing our families up, laughing about it, thinking it's funny. How would you guys feel about that? You should think about it like that, because that's what's going on. That's what's been going on. We just keep saying people are doing things to us that they're not doing. Sorry, these guys have no credibility when it comes to starting a war. So when they're telling you that, you know, Iran tried to assassinate an ambassador on our soil, no, that just doesn't stick. You know what I mean? How could it? How could it ever stick when every single war has been a lie? You go all the way back to Vietnam. I mean, it's all lies every time. Afghanistan, Iraq. It's always a lie. So another lie is going to take us into another land. You got Obama putting, you know, missiles all around them. Thousands of them. Thousands and thousands of missiles just a few nations over. We're putting drone bases up everywhere. Asia, Africa. That's spooky right there. You want to talk about the fear factor? What if you stepped outside of your house right now, okay? And you looked at like 5 bodies dead all over the road because they were shot down by a drone. And you see a drone just hovering by, just like watching you. How's your life? How do you feel? You feel pretty intimidated, wouldn't you? And we're just going to put these things up everywhere. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Who are we to just put these things up in people's airspace? And we have them other places, guys. They've been in Yemen killing people, Pakistan. You just don't hear about it that much. We've been using drones in all these other Middle Eastern countries. We're not calling it a war, but we're gunning down civilians with drones. And they're pissed off about it. You know, over there, it's a big deal. Over here, nobody gives a crap. What if you went outside and there was a drone flying above you? Okay? An unmanned aircraft just like hovering above your neighborhood, lighting people up. You'd be a prisoner in your own little world over there. And for what? You didn't do anything. Not only did they not do anything, their government didn't do anything to us. We're just the punk. We're the bully in the schoolyard. I thought we were supposed to be the good guys. What a joke that is, huh? Man, I wonder what people in other countries think about us. They must hate us. I'd hate us. It's pretty disgraceful. It really is. It's embarrassing, honestly. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. You know, the first thing I do is I apologize to people. When I go into like a chat room or a forum or a lobby or, you know, anywhere where there's interacting, you know, with people from other parts of the world. First thing I do is apologize for being American and for what our country does to people. It's the first thing I do. I let them know that, you know, it's either A, the American people don't have a clue as to what's going on, and they just believe whatever's put on them in front of the TV. So you can't blame them. They just don't know. And I was one of those people for almost all my life, you know? Or B, you got people like me that do know, but we do give a crap, and we're so dead set against it and trying to let people know what's going on. I just hope everybody knows that about us. That's what it's like. And it's embarrassing. It eats away at us every day. Why do we have to be this evil nation doing all these things? We don't have to do that to succeed, do we? Can't we just mind our own business, stay within our own borders, and just, you know, just have the best interests of the people? What happened to that? You have a government that wants to put you in wars that are unjust. You have a government, a health department, and a you know, an administration, whatever you want to call the FDA and the USDA, these ridiculous agencies that want to actually get you sick. I mean, what kind of country is that? You have a media that has no journalistic responsibility at all. They're not even if they wanted to report something real, things happen where they're blocked and there's lawsuits and they're not allowed to talk and people are silenced and taken off the air. You're not allowed to investigate something. I mean, really, unless it's something petty, you know what I mean? Seriously. The only way you're going to get real news on TV is like maybe if you saw the local news and they're talking about a guy that got shot in your city or a fire, a house that burned down. None of this national stuff is ever going to be real. They just literally write stuff, script it. They just script stuff, whatever they want to make you believe, okay? Whatever agenda they have, whichever way they need to sway your opinion, they just selectively give you certain information, okay? If they don't want you to react in a certain way, well, they don't give you the information that would make that reaction. You understand? They just give you, like, say they don't want you to like somebody. Well, they just show you all the bad things that they do, and they don't show you any of the good things. Just to sum it up, you know what I mean? To make it simple. And they do this all the time. What kind of place is that? Why can't we live in a place where they want to give us good doctors for free? Want to give us healthy food? How about giving us advanced technologies? You know what I mean? Why? Why do you have to withhold everything from us? Information is so powerful and they withhold it from us. They don't want us knowing things. I feel like that's the whole reason they made sports, to keep the men just totally, you know, preoccupied with that and not looking into other things. And I like sports. I'm not saying sports are bad. I'm just saying I bet you that's one of the reasons they were created. Was to keep everybody captivated, just like television, to keep people captivated and just have them, give them something to totally, you know, immerse themselves in and not pay attention to politics and in real life. I can't believe I didn't know for this long how bad it was. We need to turn it around, you know? We can't just sit back. There's got to be a way to change it. I mean, a little bit at a time. The food thing really bothers me, I'll tell you right now. The food thing is what really bothers me. Because there really is an all-out assault on your body. This whole GMO thing is huge, guys. You know, we could talk about GMOs for a week straight and still not talk about everything we need to talk about. 90% of all the wheat, the corn, the canola, and which one was it? There was one other crop. Maybe the soybean. I'm not sure. There was one other one. No, over 90% of all those crops are genetically modified in this country now. Okay? They don't care about your health. It's all about the dollar. It's all about the bottom line. With everything. With food, with medicine, with everything. We used to be the place that people would come to escape. You know what I mean? To escape all the madness in the world. People would, people would run here. Now you probably got people running from here. People getting the hell out of here. I think our actions in the last 10 years have been atrocious. Guys, we torture people now. We wouldn't torture people before. That would be absurd to even think of it. All these guys that are running for president now, too, they're all on board with it. They all want to continue waterboarding. They're all down with torture.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, why not? Let's torture some more Middle Eastern people. We haven't done enough to them. We've only bombed the shit out of them. Taken out schools, houses, water supplies. Then we steal their oil. We steal their drugs. We sell it all. We make a bunch of money off them. It's no big deal, right? I think I want to talk about the Penn State thing a little bit, guys. You know, I wasn't really going to touch on it tonight too much, but like I was saying the last show, okay, I really do think Joe Paterno is actually physically involved in this. I really do. I really think that's one of the reasons he's turned a blind eye to it. I think a lot of it has to do with his ego. It has to do with him, you know, going after the record like we talked about. He's the all-time winningest coach now in college football history, and he just recently broke that. I think that's part of the reason he's sitting on this information. There was some Greek scandal. Justin, I don't know if you're there or Truth War. Did you guys see something about, like, the Greek church or something like that? Greek bishops and some child sex scandal? Do you guys see anything on that?
I haven't heard it, no. I wouldn't be surprised. The Greek Orthodox Church, for the most part, is just an offshoot of the Vatican.
Yeah, I only saw somebody, like, post something on it. I didn't really get to research it too well. I just seen it today. I didn't know if there was some story that I missed that I wasn't hearing about. Something about the, you know what, I'm going to try looking up now while I'm on the air. I don't usually like to do that, but we'll see what happens. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, you know, that's the accepted behavior. That's the accepted behavior.
You know, while you're looking that up, I'll chat for a minute to keep from the air. But I was just going to say earlier, did you see that Joe Paterno, I was just talking about this last hour, he knew as early as July and actually got his house out of his name and into his wife's name.
Oh, really? So,
yes, he knew that this is in the New York Times today. And a lawyer said there'd be no advantage of doing that tax-wise. So the only reason that he would be doing that is if he knew something was coming down on him where he might ball. So yep. that's a whole new twist in the ball game. You know, obviously we know that he must have known something was funny, but to know this whole time, all the way back to July, waiting for the... I'm surprised the old man didn't have a heart attack, but, you know... It just shows, you know, you lay with dogs, you get fleas, and he chose his program over the safety of these kids, and whether he was culpable or part of it or what, or just sitting back and doing what he, you know, doing nothing, it's ridiculous.
It's a shame. I don't know how you could do that to the kids, like, seriously. I don't know how you could let that go on underneath your nose, and like I said before, him being the head football coach... He's like a god on campus, especially being there 40-something years. So he, with that comes some more responsibility. I'm sorry, it does. Whether he wants it or not, all right? He's there when everybody's praising him and bringing him gifts. He's there to collect his multi-million-dollar check every year. Well, he's got to take a little of the responsibility. And when people tell him things, he needs to know that if he lets that go on as accepted behavior, that reflects on the whole university. And people, if they think if Joe Paterno says it's okay, then it's okay. Like, I understand that. Obviously, it's illegal. It's a sick thing to do. But these people aren't thinking about that. And one thing they might be thinking about is while they're doing it in the locker room and Joe Paterno's letting it go on, well, they're thinking that the university condones that behavior.
Right. Joe Pa is Penn State. There's no doubt
exactly.
About that.
Exactly. Even a football coach that's only been there like 5 years, if it's like a big Division One school, I mean, they're big time on campus.
Oh,
they're usually bigger
than
the president, bigger than everybody, you know?
Exactly. Oh yeah, no, they're numero uno. That's, you know, even like in Connecticut, like Jim Calhoun, the basketball coach, he can do whatever he wants. You know, that's you know, once you know, football, and football's even bigger. So I mean, it's just. It's ridiculous, and I wanted to add something earlier when you were saying about sports. They made sports to keep, you know, the men so busy. But I think it's not that they made them. I think that they make them so important. You know, they make them, it's such a big thing about it. Yeah, I totally agree with you, because how many friends do you know How many friends do I have that's my only link to them anymore? And that's one of the only reasons I keep up with sports is because this way I can have something to talk to my friends and my father about and stuff, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love football and baseball and college basketball. I don't like pro basketball anymore, but, you know, and the only reasons I even, you know, it's, I mean, you know, of course you have your teams and, you know, the whole camaraderie of it, but, you know, once you see the big picture, it's almost like, you know, I don't know. There's better stuff to worry about. It is my release, I guess, though, to on Sunday to go and watch football and not worry about this stuff. But, you know, I don't know. You definitely made a good point with that, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel like that's exactly what it's for. You know, it's there as a big distraction, you know, especially for the men, you know. You know, we're gonna need men to fight back if, you know, there's ever a revolt or anything. And too many of them aren't even going to know that it's going on because all that they care about is sports. People will rattle off all these stats to you, and they don't know a damn thing about what's going on in the world or why it's happening. Not a damn thing. But they'll tell you, you know, who's got the RBI record and this, that, and the other thing.
Right. And they can't even tell you who their state senators or congressmen are, you know, and they can't tell you, you know, what the Project for a New American Century was, or, you know, anything, any of the above. You know, they don't even know. You know, it's hard enough with us. We have to deal with looking at the shenanigans of both parties and, you know, but, you know, they don't even know one party, you know, and that's the fact with most of the sheeple in this world. I mean, you know, it's insane that they, just think that it's the order that it is, and that's the way things will always be, and that, you know, they don't see that the boiling frogs effect. They don't see that it just gets worse and worse, you know, every 6 months. And, you know, I have friends that are totally blind to this whole facade, totally.
Yeah, guys,
don't want to believe it.
We're not blaming you guys if you're listening out there and then you fall into this category. You know, there's been an all-out. I mean, look at the marketing that they do for sports. And look at, you know, even when you're in school, you're almost taught that if you're a star athlete, I mean, that's more important than grades. You know what I mean? It's just everything's geared towards sports. So, you know, you're not to blame for it. I mean, it's an all-out assault on you to just want to be totally immersed in these things. And all you see is the athletes everywhere. And they're talked about like they're heroes. Those people aren't heroes. Most of those athletes are friggin' morons. I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm sure there's some really smart ones. Of course, some of them did go to, you know, good colleges and stuff. But a lot of them are idiots. Don't look up to those guys, you know? I really do feel like that. You know, just like the television, just like the church. I think sports is another, you know, major distraction. Yeah, I think you made a good point when you said it probably wasn't created for that. But at some point, they made it, you know, as big as it is. And that's what they did. They made it so, you know, intertwined in everything that's mainstream, like everything, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, totally. And you even just see, like now, what better way to get men to watch Dancing with the Stars but to put Emmett Smith or Jerry Rice out there?
Yeah. You know, they got double dosing in the dumbness.
Yeah, yep. And that'll make the men sit around and actually sit there and have to watch it with their wife because, okay, well, now I'll put up with it because at least, you know, it's just making you, you know, stay around the boob tube and, you know, keep getting propagandized and forget that anything is really going on.
Yep. Speaking of the boob tube, I'm ready to cancel my cable because these bills, I mean, seriously, dude, I don't like to get on here and complain about money, but, I mean, my cable bill's like $200 a month. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'm thinking about just going internet, you know, just using, I have a couple sites that, you know, stream a lot of stuff and you can get live events and then, you know, you can get almost any TV show online and you can, there's different services and stuff. And I think I'm just going to go that route because it's really a lot of money, man. I don't really use it. I mean, I only use it to watch like, you know, some games on Sunday or, man, I really don't watch much, dude, at all. I mean, maybe one or two shows and that's it.
Right. Yeah, same with me. I watch my Sons of Anarchy and Rescue Me and Entourage, you know, a couple shows and like you said, maybe two or three shows and that's, and besides that, I keep it on for background noise. But, you know, see with me, I still you know, I live in my mother's basement. I moved back in after I had some financial hardships. So I'm living here, so I don't have to, you know, I'm not paying for cable, so I'm enjoying. Obviously, they're older people; they love having it. So, you know, I'm not going to cancel mine. But yeah, if I was out on my own right now, the way the economy is, I don't blame you. I'd be doing the same thing.
I really am. I'm, you know, obviously I'm not going to cancel my internet, guys. Of course I wouldn't do that. But with the way the internet is now, it's gotten so big that you really don't need cable. If you know your way around a computer pretty good, I really don't think I should be paying a cable bill. I really shouldn't. Maybe I need one subscription. Maybe get my Netflix subscription back so I can access all that stuff.
Right.
And
right.
Then use things like Hulu, Justin TV, and you know. I was looking for a movie and I couldn't find it, so I made a Facebook post the other day, right? And one of my buddies, you know, he's like, oh, this is where I watch all my movies. And he gave me a site that streams movies. And I've seen a lot of websites out there where you can supposedly stream movies without even having to download them. And they just, you know, they just suck. It just doesn't work good. The site actually works good.
I'm really?
Gonna throw it in, yeah, I'm going to throw it in the chat and I'll throw it up on my Facebook wall after for anybody that's listening. Yeah, let me throw it in here. You know what? I'll just say it over there. It's movie2k.to. I just watched In Time earlier today. It was bootleg, but, I mean, the quality was fine. It wasn't, like, really bad. I'm
right.
watching Tower Heist
the
right
new,
now.
The new bootlegs nowadays, it's not like back in the 90s when you had the guy filming over his shoulder. Nowadays, it's just like... you know, it's the quality is like 98%. You know, it's
yeah,
really not bad.
No, it was much better, and the sound was good. It wasn't echoey or nothing. And then right before I got on the air, and I'm gonna finish it when I get off. I was watching that movie Tower Heist, and I'm gonna watch the Moneyball later tonight too. And they're all on there, and you just and it actually works, guys. I know how these sites are; they suck. I know how it is. I tried looking through so many sites to get free movies where you can stream them. And this is a good site. I'm really happy about it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to cancel my cable bill, because I don't really watch TV. I like to watch a movie late at night, like before I go to bed, and kind of unwind a little bit. I'll watch a movie. And I used to not do that, but now I do.
Do you have the wire that hooks up your internet to your TV then?
Oh yeah, I've been doing that for years, buddy.
See, that's what I need, because I can't sit here and stare at my computer. That would be the one thing that I would need to make this up.
I don't
have a flat screen. I have like an old, I have a 32-inch Samsung from probably like one of the last tubes that came out.
Really? Yeah, there's a way that your computer can output to that, to like RCA jacks or something. Absolutely. And you know what, dude? You know how, like, if you were to get an HDMI wire, sometimes they're, like, $30-$40? I have an Amazon store on my Real News. If you go there, we have those wires for, like, $2, the same $40 ones. So whatever wire you need, I could probably find you for, like, friggin' $5 tops from Amazon.
What would I need to do? Just give you the model...
what do you got, a desktop or a laptop? You just give me the model number of your computer so I can look up the specs and see what you have for a connection, you know? And then see what you have for a TV and just see what I need, to, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah, but don't go to the store and Best Buy and spend like $30-$40, because I can get you the wire for like $5, dude. Maybe even $2. Like, serious. They're so cheap on there. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I tell everybody that. If you're going to get any wires or anything like electronic, I bought like cell phone cases and chargers and stuff for like 2 cents, brand new. 2 cents? Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You know, even for research, too, when you're doing research, it's so much easier to sit relaxed, you know, than to sit in your computer chair and have to, you know, like, even if you're watching, like, you know, say you're just watching the Nodette Brothers, you know, 9/11 film to see if you can catch anything new or whatever. You know, every now and then I'll do that. I'll go and revisit, especially since all these... you know, all the fakery came out and all the different things. I'll go back and I'll rewatch them and see if I can spot anything else, you know, but if I had it hooked up to my television, it would just be so much easier, you know, to do it with, and I could actually be comfortable doing it, you know, because now it's so bad with my sound card on my computer that I have to keep my headphones on, and I end up getting, like, I feel like I'm trapped in a box when I keep my headphones on for too long. I don't know. I just feel like it's just ridiculous. Well,
yeah, you got to get it up on your TV and then sit back and just kind of relax, because then it's really just like a super advanced cable box, you know what I mean? And I've been doing that for years. I've always done that. I've been hooking up my laptops to my TVs for like probably 4 or 5 years now. I've always done that. I just always like to do it like that. I've even sit back on my couch and like do Facebook and everything up on the big screen, you know?
Right, exactly.
Especially for videos, when we watch a lot of YouTube videos and stuff like that. I mean, it's just much better than being cooped up on the computer screen, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
How big's your TV?
32.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's a nice size for that.
Yeah, it's decent. See, that's the thing is I bought it. It was like the last of my lawsuit money back in 01. So it was one of the last tubes that came out. So, I mean, it's probably another 2 years left of it. You know, they don't last too long. But it's, you know, it's not bad. It's, you know, it was a $500 TV back then. So I don't know, if I had waited another year or two, I probably would have got a, plasma, and it probably would be burnt out by now, actually, because the early flat screens were not great. Yeah. The first plasmas, they burnt out quick. Yeah. What were you saying?
I bought a Samsung 3 years ago at the same exact time of the year. So it was 3 years ago, almost to the day. And it actually broke about a month ago. It just won't turn on now. I think I got to get a new power supply or something for it.
Wow.
Only 3 years, man. And I've had other ones that lasted a lot longer, but 3 years, that's it, dude. The thing's like brand new 50-inch TV, and I'm using a 20-inch TV right now because that one's broken.
Oh, wow, that's bad. Yeah, you got to work on that. But, yeah. You know, it sucks. What do you do, though? To get a TV repaired nowadays?
Oh, dude, it's at least $3.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a $1,500 TV. Do I really want to pay $3 to fix a 3-year-old TV that's $1,500? I don't know. Maybe. I'm not really sure. I kind of have to, but it sucks, you know?
Yep.
I need my TV back. I mean, right now, my friend let me borrow a nice monitor, so I'm on a... I got a monitor right on my coffee table here that's 21-inch flat screen, so it's not bad at all to do everything I need to do as far as the radio shows and stuff like that, but... Yeah, I forgot what I was saying for a second. Yeah, I need my TV back. It does suck without it. I don't use it much, but, you know, to watch the football game on Sunday or whatever, watching on this 20-inch TV, it's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, see, I got you know, I'll watch like, you know, the Giants game at home or whatever, but then I'll go usually like for the 4 o'clock, so I'll go up one of my buddies' house who has the NFL ticket, so I can watch all the games at once, you know, type thing, but. Yeah, because I'm not paying for that shit. But you know, a lot of my friends that the economy hasn't hurt yet. They're still, you know, driving around the rims on their cars and still getting the Sunday ticket and still, you know, with 50-inch flat, brand new flat screens every year and everything. You know, it's just
yeah. I got the Sunday ticket for a while with DirecTV. I'll tell you guys this: the Sunday ticket is awesome. But that's it, man. The rest of the DirecTV sucks. Their service sucks. If you have to get through to them when your service is out, it sucks. I would tell you this, right? I live about 25 minutes from Fenway, okay? And when it, you know, pretty much usually when it's raining at my house, it's raining there. So it was raining. It wasn't a big storm. And it was raining so lightly that the Red Sox game that I was watching on TV, they were still playing. They didn't even have the tarp out. They were playing. It was like a drizzle. And my satellite was going out.
Wow. Well, see right here, though, this is through AT&T. It's not through a satellite one. AT&T has a
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a football ticket too. It might not be the same name of it, but it's the, you know, the same thing, the Sunday ticket where they show like they go back and forth between three or four games it's on, and they show you like, you know, just
too. Comcast has it. They call it the Red Zone.
Yeah, something like that. Right, exactly.
Yeah, we have that too. But as far as I know, DirecTV is the only one that really lets you get all the games, right?
Yeah, DirecTV has that. You could watch every game in full on DirecTV.
Yeah, I used to like that. That was good when I was really into fantasy football and stuff. It was, you know, what's better than being able to, you know, see what guy you have playing and just being able to put his game on at any time, you know?
Yep.
That was pretty good.
I'm still huge into fantasy football. I play for money. I'm in like four leagues. I love fantasy football. It's something that I look at for one, it's kind of an investment, you know, and if not, I lose $100 for the league fee or whatever, you know, but it's worth it to win the 800 or the Geno or whatever, you know.
Dude, I had Brady and Moss in 2007. Walked away with the trophy. They almost screwed me in the playoffs. I almost lost in the playoffs because the offense went cold.
See, check this out. Listen to the mistakes I made this year on my big money league. This is how bad this was, right? We're allowed to keep one player from the year before. And it was between Ray Rice and Peyton Hillis, who were my, you know, two best players, I figured. Guess who I kept?
You kept Peyton Hillis.
Yep, kept Peyton Hillis. And he's had one game this year where he's been over 100 yards, been injured the rest of the time. Then I draft only allowed to have one player on each team in this league, you know, so that way you can't have, like, you can't have Welker and Brady, you can't have Andre Johnson and Schaub, you know. So, you know, my offense, now guess who my quarterback is Vic, and he's either, you know, either great or terrible. And then I got Willis McGahee injured. I'm 4-6 right now. And if this week I don't win, I'm probably out. But
that's brutal, man. One year I started 0-9, you know, and I ended up going 500 almost at the end. I ended up like 7-9 or something at the end. I was doing about 3 fantasy football leagues a year and 1 baseball. And I actually just this season, I told them I didn't want to do it because I've been so busy with everything else, and I'm not doing it right now. But I did do it like probably the last 5 years. I did football and I did baseball like the last. No, it's been longer. I've probably been doing fantasy football. Probably did like 7-8 years, man. I just don't realize it. I probably did like 7 years and probably like 4 or 5 years of baseball. Baseball takes a lot, though. You got to be on it every day.
Baseball, I love. I played in 4 baseball leagues this year. 2 for money, two without.
Do you like the total points, or do you like the head to head things?
I play in 2 of each. I played in one on ESPN that was head to head, you know, week to week, and you try to get the 2 start pitchers and everything. And then I played in another league, you know, pretty much the same way. Only
that's
it was points,
like.
You know, and then I played in an AL only league and then an NL only league, and with that you really got to know your players because, you're gonna have to, you know, put in an outfielder, you know, you're gonna have to look you're gonna have to look for a matchup, you know, like you're gonna have to go, okay, this guy is playing against 3 lefties this week, and I like this guy against lefties, and you know, and some of them, like you said, you fix your roster every day, you know, that's the points leagues, the head to heads, you fix it on Sunday, and then that's it. But
yeah, I like the one personally when I do it. I like the ones that I'm most used to, and the ones I do the most, and the ones that I like is the ones that you go head-to-head against somebody, but it keeps a running tally for everybody, all the points. And, you know, you have, like, 400 or 500 points, and they have 300 or 400 or 500 points. And, you know, the winners get a win, you know? And you get, you know, so many points for each thing that the players do. I don't like the ones where you just win a category. Like, I like to go through the whole thing, and I like to be able to make moves every day and, you know, look for the 2 start pitches and, you know, try and pick up starters on Sunday that people didn't pick up on because I still have a roster move or 2 left. I like to do all that stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
baseball's the greatest numbers game. You know, well, even people that don't like baseball have to admit, as far as stats go, baseball's king.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, no, definitely. It really is, and there's so many little things you could do. You know, but I'll have to let you get in the a couple of my leagues next year, and you know, it's really just the you know, I found a formula up that I end up making out where every, you know, it's a great points formula that I figured out. You know, and like for hitters, I get minus 0.5 for every at bat. So then you're gonna get 3 points for a single, 4 for a double, 5 for a triple, 6 for a homer, and then 1 for a ribby, 1 for a run, two for a stolen base, two for
a... So that way it's like if they don't produce in that at bat, it's like it's a negative thing.
Right, but you're even if you go only 0 for 3 with a walk, you break even, with a, and then a walk's 1.5. So, yeah. I mean, you know, really, then my pitching formula is like this. Every inning pitch, now this is where, you know, your innings eaters make your, like Verlander was king, obviously, this year. But anyway, innings pitch, you get 4.5 points per innings pitch. However, you get docked, every earned run, you get docked 2.5 points. And every hit you give up, you get docked 1.5 points. Every strikeout is plus one. Every walk is negative one. And then so, you know, say your pitcher goes 7 innings, allows 3 runs, you know, and all home runs an extra one off besides the earned run. You know, you end up getting like 25 points. You throw a no hitter, you end up getting like 50 points. You know, depending yeah. on, but it's a damn good formula. All saves is three, and then you know, blown saves is -3, stuff like that. I do holds 2 plus 1.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I like when there's penalties for stuff, for blown saves and strikeouts for the batter. And you, what do you get, minus 0.5 for a strikeout for the batter?
Well, no, just in that bat in general. You don't get penalized for striking out. You just get penalized for getting out.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't get anything done yet. I get you.
Right. And then for a sacrifice, I give a half a point for a sacrifice. You know, so sac flies a half a point, and then you get the one if you're driving a run, or just, you know, regular, you know, sacrifice bunt, half a point. And then,
cool.
You know, of course you don't get charged for the at-bat either, because, you know, it's not an at-bat if it's a sacrifice, but.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, man. Maybe I'll have to check that out next year. I just needed a little time off of it. I just had a lot, you know, starting up the radio and everything this year, and just, I had a lot of things going on, so I just kind of told my buddy I wasn't going to do it, but yeah, I'll probably get back into it next year. Because I like doing it, you know, it keeps me interested in it, even when I don't really watch that many baseball games anymore like I used to. I used to get the baseball package, too. I used to have them both. I don't care. Yeah, I'm a Red Sox fan, but I like to watch National League Baseball late at night. I just do, because I don't get to see that style of baseball.
It's pure.
If it's a game on, I watch it. I just like it better, seeing the pitcher hit. I like the... I like that a pitcher, if he's going to get out there and drill somebody, well, then his ass got to get in the batter's box to face the music the next inning.
Exactly.
I like that. Go ahead.
You remember the year when Clemens drilled Piazza?
Yep.
He was playing for the Yankees, and then he had to actually get up and hit during the World Series, so that was awesome, you know, but and they threw a couple brushbacks at him. You know, they didn't throw at him or nothing, but... You know, like you said, that makes the game, though, and figuring out in the seventh inning, my pitcher's pitching pretty good, gave him a run, we're in a 1-1 ball game. Do I pinch hit or do I keep him in for another inning? The American League, you don't even have to worry about that, because, you know, you have that luxury, you know. And then the National League, you have the double switch. Right, double switch, you know, you end up putting in a right fielder and taking out someone and you know, moving around the batting, it's just all strategy. And that's the thing, American League teams, besides putting out the batting order and taking out the pitcher, a manager doesn't really do much. You know, maybe late in the game he may say, okay, I want a pinch hitter, this guy hits lefties better than righties or something.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, National League, it's, you know, you see hit and runs, sacrifice bunts. That's another thing too, you know, in the National League you have, you know, the pitcher's got to come up to hit, so what do you do with no out, runner on second,
or
even runner on first?
Exactly. You're going to see a bunt that you probably wouldn't have seen in the other league.
Right, right.
The other thing, too, what I don't understand, like I was just saying, you know, because, you know, my team's an American League team. That if I'm going to watch it, that's what I see, American League all the time. Well, the National League always fascinated me. And, when I played baseball growing up, you play National League rules. I mean, that's the rules of baseball. The pitchers hit. I mean, you know, I'm sure they like hitting too, but I never understood why in interleague play they don't reverse it. When a National League team comes to Fenway, why don't we play National League rules so the fans can see the National League style and see how pitchers hit for once? Why do they do it when we're there in their park? Why don't they switch it? And that would kind of nullify the whole field advantage. Yeah, you know what I mean? Listen, so if the Mets come to Fenway, now to watch John Lester bat, which we wouldn't normally get to do. We see him pitch all the time, but now we get to see John Lester and John Papelbon. We don't have any more, but we get to see these guys bat. And then when we go to the National League, they do the reverse. You know, they get to see the DH.
I would love to see that. That would be great, because you know what, too? You know, Fenway Park is a different park now when you have a pitcher hitting it. It's not that, you know, power park where left field you get the, you know, the easy,
yeah, exactly,
you know, monster.
And field advantage, like I was saying, you know?
Right, definitely. And then, you know, you might have to put a different lineup out, you know? It'd be totally different, you're right.
Yeah, and it'd be great for the fans, wouldn't it? Why? It's great that but now the kind of the mystique over interleague's kind of worn off a little bit. So why not switch it up? And you want to do new things to get baseball exciting? Why not give the all these diehard fans that go to all these games for these teams all the time? Why not let them see the other style of play? You know what I mean? You're gonna do it anyways.
I'll tell you what though, that may hurt that getting through in Boston. Big Poppy, he's out for those games.
I know, but listen, he's going to be out for those games anyways. It's the same amount of games, Boston. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Going to do the opposite when we're in your park. So instead of Poppy sitting out when we're in the other park in the National League games, he's going to play those games.
No, you're right, and actually, I'd like to see him hit one out of Citi Field. You know, and
exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right. That you know, we should petition Major League Baseball. And guys, sorry we took about 20 minutes talking about sports here, but you know, sometimes you got to talk about some of the other things in life. And you know, I'm sure some people out there are probably like, oh, you know, it's a little relief from all this stuff.
Yeah,
but you know, I think that's a great idea. I think we should you know, try to get that to Selig or whoever that is running baseball nowadays.
Yeah, it'd be much better, man. I would love to see our guy. Everybody would love to see our pitchers hit in our own park. Why only get to see it on TV? Get to see it in person, you know? That'd be crazy. I could just imagine the ovation being at the park when one of our pitchers gets up there and gets a hit. Yep. You know, everybody'd be going nuts.
I'll tell you what, when you guys had Pedro, it would have been good. Pedro was a good hitting pitcher. Every now and then you get one of those guys like Dontrell Willis or Micah Owings. Micah Owings. The guy's got a lifetime slugging average of like 550. You know, I don't know why they don't put him more.
Zambrano, he slugs it.
Yep, Carlos Zambrano, he's another one.
Slugged a few home runs.
He had a grand slam off the Mets. I think it was the year before last. Dontrell, too. Dontrell had like six or seven RBIs in one game against us. It was like, wow, this guy is an athlete. You know, and when he was struggling pitching, I said, hey, put him in the outfield. You know, he was athletic and everything. I said, throw him in left field.
Yeah, why not, right?
I don't see that sometimes. I wonder, there's some of those guys like that are able to, you know, like Rick Ankiel did. Rick Ankiel was, you know, he was a hell of a pitcher at first, and all of a sudden he couldn't throw a strike. Well, they went and put him in the outfield, and now he's, you know, he's a pretty good hitter, 20 home runs a year or so. You know, I'd like to see what a guy like Micah Owings, you know, switch hitter in a whole year, what he would put up for numbers. I'd be interested to see that, but probably never see it.
These guys used to do all these things when they were before they got to the majors. You know what I mean? These pitchers used to hit when they were in college.
Exactly.
Of course they did. You know what I mean? Of course they did. So of course a lot of them are still good hitters. They just are. You know, some of them are. A lot of them probably aren't, and they got by just on pitching. But some of them were probably very well-rounded baseball players, and they could hit the shit out of the ball too. But yeah, we're pretty much, it's 11 now. We're up at the top of the hour. So, I want to thank you for filling in again. And you got anything else you want to throw out there before we get off?
No, that's pretty much it tonight. You know, a little on the low note tonight. But, of course, you know, the whole thing about sports, remember the dark side of it with Sandusky and Penn State and Joe Pa and everybody being involved in all this stuff. But, you know, you know, guys, you have to take some time out and look at the other sides of life, and no matter what it is, if you're passionate sports, embrace it. Because, you know, hey, you never know how much time we have left in here, and I'm not trying to be a fear monger, but, you know, enjoy your family, enjoy the thing, you know, that you like, and you know, stay in the know too, you know. So that's all I have to really have to say. And thanks for having me on, Bri.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Truth War, thanks again for doing everything that you do back there. Sometimes I don't know if you know if the listeners know about all the long hours you put in here, but Truth War pretty much runs this radio station from, you know, the time it starts in the morning to the time it gets off the air at night. So he needs a lot of credit for that.
He's a soldier, Truth War. He really is.
But, yeah, guys, thanks again for listening to the Wake Up Call. And I'll be back again tomorrow, same time, 10 p.m. Justin's on, 9 p.m. tomorrow. And that's it, guys. You're out. You're listening to Informed Radio.
Boof, boof, 'cause you know I'm known to matter why or two. You need a